This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for September 4th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Let's go. How's it going? What's going on? What's up? What's new? What's good? That's what the kids say now. What's good? I heard Nicki Minaj say that at the MTV VMAs. Actually, I didn't watch that at all. But I heard all about it. Apparently her and what are we even talking about that for? What a complete waste of breath and space to talk about that. So look, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, is a video game available now on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and the personal computer. I bought it on Steam because that's where I buy a lot of my third-party games now. Seems like I just get better versions there. Even in the case of Batman, which was trouble, you know, at launch on PC, I still feel like I got the better version. Having played a bit on the PlayStation, I think the PC version, even with its issues, looks better. Anyway, that's where I play a lot of my games. I don't know why I'm telling you that, but I'm playing Metal Gear Solid 5. Not the one with Solid Snake. He's not even born yet. Or is he born and just not... I forget now. The timeline's pretty janked. But I look just like him. I got an eye patch there like he does, and, you know... Look, I'm trying to make a point here. That game, despite there being some pretty decent primers out there for the story and the characters and everything, to get a good idea of where things happen and in what timeline, is just bonkers. It's just bonkers, and I love every second of it. Whatever Kojima does next, it needs to be just as crazy. I mean, he's off the project, so that's it. No more Metal Gear. But he needs to take his brand of weird somewhere else. And if it isn't games, it needs to be movies. And if it's not movies, it needs to be anime. It needs to be something where his vision of storytelling can be truly told. Because what the crap? It is so insane. Nothing makes sense. And there was a choice here to be made last Tuesday. It was either this or the new Mad Max game, which has nothing to do with the film. Some people think it has everything to do with the film. It's not connected. In fact, we have a call later about that, I think. Anyway, not that I don't want that one. I do. I hear some good things about it, but I don't hear as many good things. Pretty much universal praise across the board for MGS5. And, you know, fair to upper better okay scores for Mad Max. So I think I made the better choice for now. I can't do two of those games at once. Dude, I haven't even finished Batman totally. I still haven't finished The Witcher. I haven't even finished Shadow of Mordor, or Shadows of Mordor. Is it Shadow? Shadow. So, for a guy who's behind on his big, epic, sprawling, adventure-style games, and for someone who has a very stuffed nose today, I apologize if this is coming over on the air. I think I picked the right choice. I like the gameplay. I like the mission structure. I like the sandbox approach to everything. I like the insane story bits. I like those Fulton balloon things that I'm sending sheep in the sky with. May they ever be great. I like my D-horse. If you're playing the game, you know what I'm talking about. It's just great. And it's set in the 80s, so there's like this terrible 80s music to collect. Well, it's not all terrible. Some of it's fine. It's really good, though. Oh, I did have a minute to watch the new Halo 5 opening cinematic. That looks really badass. Did you guys see that? It's hot, dude. I mean, you know, pre-rendered and mostly for story and all that. There's no gameplay there, but, you know, that looked real nice. Nathan Fillion all up in that. So if you like him, you're going to like that, I guess. You know that big E.T. game pile, the big pile of E.T. games that were found in the New Mexican desert? Well, a whole bunch of them sold $107,000. A series of eBay auctions is represented here by that number for all these rare cartridges found in the desert, in that landfill. It wasn't just like in the middle of the desert, it was a landfill. Altogether, sales of the ET and other games unearthed there, and there were other games there, by the way, in the Alamogordo landfill totaled $107,930.15. So it's the Tularosa Basin Historical Society, whose vice president's name is Joe Lewandowski.
Now playing forward for the Washington Generals.
All right, wait, who's their hockey team? I should have said the... I can't think of anybody. I can't think of a team. The
Colorado Avalanche. Joe Lewandowski.
He sounds like a hockey player, is my point. He shared this figure at a city committee meeting. And some are regarding him as Alamogordo's Indiana Jones, they call him. Because apparently he has been involved in trying to find those ET cartridges for decades. So the city gets about $65,000 from the sale of these games. And the Historical Society gets around $16,250. And then shipping fees and other stuff ended up being about $26,600. And all in all, if you total the whole thing up, 881 games were sold to people in 45 states, 14 countries in various auctions. Good job, guys. And it's, I suppose, going to a good cause. Uncharted 4 got a release date and a special collector's edition announced. They've done collector's editions before, I think, haven't they? What they've never done before is single-player DLC. They've done multiplayer DLC, but never single-player DLC, and that's also been announced. Kind of caught me off guard. Didn't expect that from them. But anyway, I guess there's money to be made in DLC still. Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, launches on PS4 exclusively in North America on March 18th, 2016. That is a firm date, according to Sony. So many were expecting it by March, because it had already slid from holiday season this year, but then got delayed to the oh-so-vague March of 2016 date, but now they gave us a date. So it's the 18th. Everybody get your pre-order ready, I guess, or just wait until it comes out and just get it. Special edition will be $80. It is called the... Oh, and there's two versions. I'm sorry. There's special edition and 80, and then there's the Libertalia Collector's Edition, which is $120. Here's the special edition contents. You ready for this? Uncharted 4, Thief's End. Excuse me. That is the Blu-ray disc. So it comes on a Blu-ray. I don't know why they tell us that. That's stupid. We know what those games come on. Collectible steelbook case designed by Alexander, that kid who draws Iacarino. I'm not saying his name right. 48-page hardcover book by Dark Horse and Naughty Dog. This is an art book. They also have a Naughty Dog and Pirate Sigil sticker sheet. Say that real fast. Naughty Dog, Pirate Sigil sticker sheet. Naughty Dog points a pack of in-game currency to unlock various multiplayer content. So there you go. If you were hoping for for those guys to do something to that effect, well, by gum, they've done it. Guild Wars 2 base game is now free. This is good news for everybody but me. I bought it, so there's no real value to me there. Tell me the sequel, or tell me the expansion's free. Maybe now we can talk. And for whatever reason, the developer came out and just made sure everybody understood that they're promising no aggressive microtransactions. I suppose that depends on your definition of aggressive. But they announced it at PAX Prime. ArenaNet, that is, announced it. Starting on August 29th, which has already passed, the business model transition comes a full 3 years later after the game's released, and you get 40 free content updates. I guess the game did over 5 million units in sales. That's pretty good. But if you want Heart of Thorns, this is the October 23rd expansion. That is paid, so you buy that game, right? You buy it's pay to play, they call it, but it's a stupid thing to say. Who was I talking to about this? Was it Patrick? Somebody and I were talking about this, and it's such a dumb phrase. Pay to play. It's what we've always done. Anyway, he says, this is about making the base game available for everyone to try, because we believe that when people love Guild Wars 2, they're going to buy Heart of Thorns. We're not changing the way people purchase cosmetic items or adding a bunch of new ones in the store. Guild Wars 2 will remain the same game it has always been. Well, minus any improvements you're making to your game. I hope there's some new stuff to do. 2 years after development has ceased, Tribes, a free-to-play game, is being supported again. Tribes Ascend. Remember this? I played a ton of it. I loved it. It's great, great move into the modern era of Tribes games. Used to be a big Tribes 1 and 2 fan, so I thought Tribes Ascend was pretty damn good. Hi-Rez Studios behind that one, and they, you may know them as the guys behind such other big hits as Smite and I guess something called Paladins. I don't know what that is. What is Paladins? Anyway, I played a lot of Smite. Hi-Rez CEO. I love the idea that he's a high-resolution CEO. His name is Erez Gordon. Gorin said on Twitter, he says that it's the reason that they're going to bring this thing back and start developing it more actively and introduce a new map and so on is because of this. He says, with the success of Smite and Paladins, we have more resources than ever at the studio. We can now afford to go back and improve older games. And he's specifically talking about Tribes Ascend. They didn't get real specific, although they did say it would be getting a new map and some other changes, as well as continuing support. They expect this stuff to go live on test servers in the next 2 weeks. I think that's great news. You should all be happy for that, because that game's good, and bring it on back into the mainstream. That would be wonderful. Watching people play video games makes no sense, says Jimmy Kimmel. This is Jimmy Kimmel talking about people watching people play video games.
YouTube launched a new video network yesterday where you can watch other people play video games. For real, the whole network. It's called the We Should All Be Very Ashamed of Ourselves for Failing as Parents channel. Actually, it's called YouTube Gaming, and I don't get that. To me, you know, watching another person play video games is like going to a restaurant and having someone eat your food for you. Just if you like them, play them. But I guess I'm getting old. When I was a kid, you only watched other kids play video games when you ran out of quarters.
All right, so he's, you know, he's obviously having some fun at the expense of gamers a little bit there. But, man, did they get reamed. And threatened. There's one thing you can count on from the gaming community. There'll always be a few loony baits who say things like, I'd be careful starting your car tomorrow, or I know where you live, or these kinds of threats. Why do we do that, dude? What is the deal? Can you not just have a valid argument as to why Jimmy Kimmel might be wrong about the popularity of streaming, YouTube personalities, Let's Plays, and that stuff? Couldn't we just have that dialogue? I mean, he has a platform. He has a popular late-night talk show. He can get up and make jokes about this stuff. And maybe you don't have the same platform, but do you have to make death threats and be a-holes about it and sort of prove his point? Quit doing that. Of course it's valid for people to watch people play video games. Of course it is. I even think he thinks that. But for entertainment reasons, he's not going to say that. You know he likes Conan O'Brien. They're buddies. Guess who does a lot of that? Conan O'Brien does. To great effect, by the way. That segment he does is really funny. Anyway, everyone just calm down. Oh, I already played that. There, how about that? XCOM 2 got delayed till 2016. Oh no, another delay. 2016, the year of the delayed games. 2K Games and Firaxis on Friday announced this. The PC-only, at least at this point, strategy game XCOM 2 has been delayed. There was some talk, some rumors that it didn't sell very well on consoles despite being well-received on consoles in terms of critical acclaim, but it didn't sell very well the first time around, so maybe that's why they're not doing it. They do say that controller support on the PC version is not out of the question, which leads me to think that perhaps it'll show up on consoles eventually. Anyway, but the game is now out of the holiday season and pegged to land in your shiny hard drives February 5th, 2016. Quote, we've set a hard... let me start that over. Quote, we've set a high bar for the sequel, and the entire team has been working hard to make sure we deliver a great follow-up to Enemy Unknown. We just need a little more time to make it the best possible game. This is a message from the development team. So, it's fine. We have so much to play this year. It's fine. Really. Are you guys running out of stuff to do? Valve's Vive VR headset. Valve's Vive VR is only getting a limited release this year. Limited in quotes, because we don't know exactly what that means, but they have confirmed launch plans for the Vive, which was supposed to be, again, this holiday season. through HTC, they're the manufacturer. This is what they're expecting. Later this year, a limited quantity, quote-unquote, of commercial units will be available at that time. The wider, larger Vive product launch is slated for first quarter 2016. This now means January to March someplace, right? Which means right around the time both Sony and Oculus have slated their release. So now, technically, all three major players in the VR market aren't hitting until then, but exclusive hands will have this thing early. My guess is, here's just a guess. I'm not trying to verbally throw anyone under the bus, but I'm guessing it'll be big name people getting those units so that they can show them off and impress everyone. Do you know what I mean? Like the PewDiePies of the world will probably have a Vive before you and I will. And that's fine. I understand that. You and I don't have that audience. We don't have a way to drive sales in a very natural sort of viral way. But they do, so they'll probably get it. I'm very disappointed. I was planning on spending, you know, upwards to $400 or whatever dollars on a Vive this year. That was going to be my big thing. I was really genuinely jazzed about this. And now I'm pretty sure this isn't going to happen for me. And I don't know anyone on the inside at Valve, or HTC, so I'm kind of screwed. I'm like you, I'm screwed. If there's a better way, someone pipe up and let me know. WildStar is free to play, and, well, not quite, but they've given us a date when it will be. The Fantasy PC MMO, this is the game, you know the game, we played the game. Former Blizzard Entertainment people made it at Carbine Studios. They're switching to free to play. That business model kicks into gear September 29th, 2015, this year. So, this month, actually. And that's exciting, right? Closed beta starts on the 3rd, so that was yesterday. And they'll have a full rollout, you know, of course, the end of the month. Yep, dated business model conversion on the 29th will mark WildStar's first big game update as well. Since the game launched, I guess it was back in what, June of last year or so? It was right before Nerdtacular 2014, I believe. Anyway, they're promising all kinds of enhanced game systems and what they're referring to as numerous quality of life updates. Those are always welcome by me. They should be by you. We should all be happy about quality of life. Official Fallout Monopoly board has been revealed. Is anyone shocked? It says this. The Fallout Twitter account announced the product saying this, quote, "When Fallout 4 monopolizes family time, you can always bust this out." So in other words, while your dork husband or son is occupying the television all day with Fallout 4 or on his PC, the rest of you can play a lame old board game. That's what they're saying. Batman Arkham Knight's PC patch worked great. Apparently, some are calling them miracles, but then it got pulled. What? All right, so Warner Brothers, they're the publisher. Stick this patch out into the wild. This happened on Wednesday. To patch the PC version, the venerable, much attacked, much maligned PC version of Arkham Knight. And then removed it. Because they said that the update went live prematurely. My guess is there was a bug they didn't catch. But it was 626 megabytes. It was delivered to a bunch of Steam people. I didn't get it, so I assume I wasn't on the list yet, or, you know, just trickled down to everybody else yet. Initial reports from those who got it were what they're calling, quote, overwhelmingly positive. But then they pulled it right after that, and they said it was just out before it was scheduled to be out. Says that those who have used it, though, are saying it's just a complete turnaround. And I already thought the game looked pretty damn good. But they're talking about maxed on everything, better frame rates, better everything. So, if you were concerned or still worried, worry no more. Your time perhaps has come. Super Mario Maker? You know, the Super Mario Maker reviews are out. And it's just killing it across the board. I have nothing much else to say here, but everybody seems to love it. And maybe I need to blow off my Wii U gamepad and pick that thing up. If it's as good as everyone says. The Star Wars Battlefront beta is coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC in October. If you weren't out last night at midnight at Target or Walmart or wherever trying to buy toys, the midnight launch of the Star Wars toys, maybe your speed is a little more getting into this beta. And it'll be, let's see, they announced on Tuesday, it'll be early October. And that will be It says all three. PC, PS4, and Xbox One will all get the beta if you want to opt into it. Look forward to that. Or will you? Or maybe you won't. I've never felt more isolated, says billionaire Minecraft creator Marcus Notch Person. So Notch did a tirade of tweets the other night. And it kind of exposed his current emotional state. Now, I'm not really that interested in what people's personal lives are, because who can tell, really? But I think it's interesting there's something to learn here. And I wanted to bring it up. If you remember, he sold Minecraft to the tune of about $2.5 billion. $1.78 or something billion of that went to him, as he was the majority stakeholder in the company before he sold it. And he put out a bunch of tweets on Saturday. You know, remember, this is the guy that outbid like Beyonce and Jay-Z for a $70 million mansion in Beverly Hills. He hangs out in Ibiza and parties with the likes of Selena Gomez now. Right? His whole lifestyle changed. And he says this. Says, I'm feeling lonely. He also says he's wary to use his wealth to do what Elon Musk has done and branch out into new industries. So he doesn't want anything to do with Minecraft. That's one thing. In fact, I saw one of his tweets. Somebody had asked him why he doesn't retweet any news about Minecraft. He says, because I sold the company to get away from it, which I think says something there too. But anyway, he's a self-described introvert. He thanks people at the end for their thoughts and their comments and their replies to these tweets. But he said this. He says he also laments the team that remains at Mojang that aren't fans of his. He says, quote, when we sold the company, the biggest effort went into making sure the employees got taken care of. And they all hate me now. He says, let's see, there's more here. He says, the problem with, this is a tweet I thought was just really, I don't know. This just really hit me. The problem with getting everything is you run out of reasons to keep trying. And the human interaction becomes impossible due to imbalance. Hanging out in Ibiza with a bunch of friends and partying with famous people, able to do whatever I want. And I've never felt more isolated. When we sold the company, he talks about the employees again. And then he finally says, found a great girl, but she's afraid of me and my lifestyle and went with a normal person instead. It's very sad, right? But money, that kind of money, changes everything, dude. Now, my wife and I had a conversation about this. And so if you're saying things like you're doing all of these things, you're hanging out with famous people, you have more money you'll ever be able to spend, you're in all the places that all the rich people go, you're doing whatever you want to do, anytime you want to do it, and he's never felt so isolated or lonely. Man. I mean, that's just, it's rough. So my wife and I had this conversation. If I ever made millions of dollars, not going to happen, but if I did, we would be what we call quiet millionaires. We'd pay off the house we already own. We would quietly put our children through college like we were planning on anyway. We would travel a little bit. We'd redo a couple of rooms we want to change around. We'd do a bunch of charity work, but we'd keep it all nice and quiet. Because the minute you start living large and, you know, buying $8 million mansions and acting like an a-hole, well, things get weird. So that's our plan. As if that's ever going to happen. Guys, it's never going to happen. Time for emails and stuff. That stuff might be a phone call or two. How about that? Let's start with this email here that we got from a listener. His name is Eric. He says, hey, Scott, my wife isn't a... Oh, by the way, if you want to leave a voicemail, 801-471-0462. Please keep those coming. 801-471-0462, or you can send emails and attachments to boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. Hey, Scott, says Eric, my wife isn't a huge gamer, but she loves playing in-person multiplayer, meaning on the couch. When I shared the No Halo 5 couch multiplayer news with her after hearing it from you, she responded, blarg! Why does no good game add cooperative gameplay anymore? That was always so much fun, unquote, she says. I sometimes have a tough time getting her to play, and a good co-op game is usually a surefire bet. She really enjoyed Splinter Cell Conviction's co-op campaign, for example. That was good. That's true. That was really good. Maybe I'll have to buy the Master Chief Collection for multiplayer and play Halo 5 alone. She does some quick Googling and says maybe we need to get a Wii or something with co-op games. Would you agree? Boopity boop. Eric. All right. I would agree. If you're into the co-op, couch co-op stuff, you have a lot of options. But I think you have options across the board. Just because the big mainline Xbox One game coming out isn't going to be your cup of tea, there are going to be plenty of those other games. I mean, I still think Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One are fantastic and provide maybe the best couch co-op experience I had this entire generation so far of these consoles. There's plenty more out there like that. So your options aren't necessarily limited. It's just, you know, for whatever reason, 343 Studios decided they weren't having any, and they didn't have any.
Hey Scott, Brett Stewart here, and I wanted to call in to the Boop Show to ask you a question. What are your thoughts on this game? As someone who loves Mad Max, I would imagine you would be all over the Fury Road game, and it looks pretty cool. But both G2A and Green Man Gaming have had it way priced down, even during pre-orders, which is kind of unheard of. Boop.
Yeah, I don't know why the lower pricing for this one necessarily, but I've noticed that for a lot of things. I got The Witcher a lot cheaper that way. I got Batman cheaper that way. Use Green Man Gaming for that. So I don't think it's that unusual for that pricing thing. So I don't think that indicates anything. The reviews, like I said, have been pretty good. Probably an average 7 out of 10 or something. That's plenty good for a game that I would probably be interested in. But your assumption that they're tied to the movie is not correct. They are not tied to the movie. That game is not tied to the movie at all. It is a very separate thing. They don't even use likenesses. There are no real references to the movie in the game. Also, remember this thing was originally supposed to debut in 2013 and had a bunch of kind of reworkings and stuff, but was supposed to come out well before any movie was even announced. Or at the very least, we hadn't seen trailers or heard much about the movie then. So, yeah, I think this is very much a separate thing. It's going to benefit from the film. The film will help drive sales, but it's not actually got anything to do with the movie.
Hi, Scott. Love the show. I had a question for you. Lately, I have been finding that I just have lost all interest in playing games at all. Don't get me wrong, I still read about them and I get really excited for them, but when I go and sit down and play my new games that I've acquired or the ones that I was playing and have just no interest in playing them. Anyways, thanks for the show. Boop!
Okay, I think this is everyone goes through this phase. If you consider yourself a gamer, that doesn't necessarily mean you're constantly playing. Like, you can kind of sit back and soak in the industry and, you know, listen to podcasts and watch videos and read a magazine or whatever and get excited about that stuff. I mean, I do a lot of that anyway, but I've had times where I don't want to play anything. I had that yesterday happened. I mean, I sat down. I'm like, all right, I got an hour. What can I do here? I got that new Reaper of Souls patch, which I'm really enjoying. Work on that character a bit, do some season 4 stuff, or I could hop in, try to do a mission in Metal Gear 5, or I could do maybe a round or two or three of Rocket League. Like, I have all these options, right? And it ended up just going, I'm going to go read my book. So I went and read a book for an hour on the hammock outside in the shade. Sometimes you got to do that. It's fine. Doesn't mean anything. Now, if you think you love video games, but you haven't played them for years or something and just can't bring yourself to do that, well, that may be something different. But my guess is you just need a break and then something will catch your eye and your brain will kick in. You'll go, oh, yeah, I want to do this. And everything will be fine after that. But that's my thinking. Don't go changing. You'll be fine. Brings us to the close of today's program. I didn't really get any music prepared this week, so I don't have a song to play at the end. When that happens, sometimes I just go for something I haven't played in a while, and I play it. So I'm thinking about playing some like Warcraft thing or something. I'm in the mood for some Blizzard game music. So I don't know what that'll be, but it'll play here in a second. I'll try to keep it short and nothing too crazy. Thank you all for being here. You're lovely people, and I mean that. Call us 801-471-0462, boopshow@gmail.com. frogpants.com/boop is the website. All the links, all the stuff is there. We have a new Reddit up now and running a subreddit. It is frogpants.reddit.com. You're welcome to come hang out in there. Lots of gamers chatting and doing stuff. You can always catch streaming repeats of this show at alphageekradio.com. Oh, and a note, if you're playing Heroes of the Storm or Diablo or any of that, we have clans and groups and stuff all over that thing. Specifically in Heroes of the Storm, just join the chat group Frogpants, and there's just people on there to play with all the time. So if you're looking for quick matches or somebody to hop into Hero League with you or whatever, or just want a teammate to hang with, always somebody around. So Frogpants is the chat channel on Heroes of the Storm. I guess that's it. Is that it? Oh, I put a new Diablo show up talking about the new patch, so you can catch that there. That's why I haven't talked about much of it here. Yeah, I think that's it. Okay, a little Warcraft music here at the end for you. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back with the next episode soon. Stay out of trouble. Oh, I'm leaving for the weekend, so wish me luck. My 23rd anniversary. Oh, man, think of that. Getting out of town a little. Should be fun. No video games for me. But I'll be back at it next week. We'll see you guys then. Network. Get more at frogpants.com.